The book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. I'd like to deal mainly with two verses this morning and be brief in what I do. But I'd like to share with you on these thoughts. Brother Kurt sung this last song. It goes right along with our message here in Hebrews 13, verse number 10. Here, and I believe Paul was writing, he said, "We have an altar. Thank God we have a place that we can get in touch with the Master today. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts which blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp." Now verses 12 and 13. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Father, we bless you today. I pray now that you'd honor the reading of the Word of God. Touch our hearts, and we'll be grateful for what you do to us. Help us this morning. I'm a needy preacher. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. Out of Hebrews 13, verse 14, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." I want to preach on this simple Bible subject this morning on there's a better day a-coming. There's a better day a-coming. Now here in the writings of the Word of God in Hebrews 13, you'll notice, and first of all, there is a camp to leave. It's a new direction. A camp to leave. There's a new direction. Here in the writings, it says in verse 13, "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp." What is the camp? Here I believe that Paul did the writings of the book of Hebrews. It's so many characteristics of his writing. And here he is instructing us to leave the camp. I want to ask you this morning, what camp are you in? I'm glad I know what camp I'm in this morning. It's the camp of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood washed, the born again by the good grace of God. But here there's this camp to leave. It's a new direction. He says, leaving that camp. Now, preacher, what is that camp? I want to say it's a couple of things. First of all, he has to do with the temple system. Paul was teaching and preaching to those that was caught up in Judaism. They were heavily in their sacraments and their ceremonies and their laws and procedures. But I sure am glad this morning that we can leave that camp of that temple system, of the religious system. You know, this world has a lot of religion. Religion will let you die and go to hell in your sins, but the blood of Jesus can wash you clean today. Paul said in his writings to the church of Galatia, he said, "He who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." You may be trying to do your way to God. You may be trying to work your way to God. But I asked you this morning, the thief on the cross that was saved, there as he was nailed on the cross by the Lord Jesus, you'll notice that his hands was nailed to that cross. He could not work his way to God. His feet were nailed to that cross. He could not walk his way to God. But he could be saved by grace through faith. For he cried and said, "Lord, remember me." I'm glad this morning there is a camp to leave. I'm glad I've left that religious crowd with all those sacraments and ceremonies and laws and procedures. I'm glad I'm saved by grace. I'm glad I'm kept by grace. I'm glad I'm going to heaven by grace this morning. And so here, Paul is writing. He says, there's a better day coming. Within this, there's a camp to leave. It's a new direction. It would be wise for you this morning, if you're caught up in the religious system, to realize you can't work your way to God. There's nothing that you can do to get to heaven. You must trust Christ, what God has put on the cross for you and I to pay the sin debt for all humanity by the blood of His darling Son. This camp to leave. He's talking about this temple system, this system of Judaism, this temple of the law and works. They would not receive Christ. But then secondly, not only this temple system, but it has to do with the world system. Here, the writer is instructing us to leave this camp, to get out of the world system. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about, the world system? This world's crazy. This world's been crazy a long time. But now we can see how crazy people are. They've got a camera stuck in crazy people's face. My goodness, this world system. You see, there's so many distractions and so many dangers. The world's desires and the world's devices. One of the greatest Christians that ever walked behind Christ was John the Beloved. You know, John was a very kind man. John was a man that he had his ear on the bosom of Christ. John is the disciple or the apostle that when he was following Peter fishing, the Lord told him to cast the net on the right side and he would find. And soon as the Lord filled the net with fishes, John was the first one that recognized and he said, oh, it is the Lord. So John was a man of a very tender heart, but listen to what he said about the world system. He said in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It does not mean that we're not to love sinners, but we're not to love their sin. We're not to be caught up in this world system. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, there's a better day coming. There's a camp to leave. It's a new direction. I'm glad I've left the camp of religion. I'm glad I've left the camp of the world. And oh my goodness, I've taken on a new direction. You see, not only this camp, there's a camp to leave, a new direction, but secondly, there's a Christ to love. There's a new desire. A Christ to love. There is a new desire. I hear people saying, well, preacher, I love God, but I believe we can kill 60 million babies and be right with God. It's hard for me to realize that anybody that loves God, that they don't love the things of God. And this morning, if you're in the world, Jesus said, come out from the world and follow Him. Oh, there should be a new desire in our heart. You see in verse 13, He says this, let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp. There's somebody to go to today, and that's the Lord Jesus. Here the writer says in Hebrews 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses from chapter 11, those living by faith. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, there's a better day coming. There's a Christ to love. It should be a new desire. In Hebrews 13 and verse number 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Friend, we live in a very unstable and unchanging world. But I'm glad that I'm hooked into a heavenly world this morning, where the builder and the maker is God, and He is the Lord Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You say, well, preacher, has Jesus changed His mind about this? Jesus hadn't changed His mind about nothing He's wrote in the Word of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm glad my Bible's still right and it's still relevant in this day and in this hour. You see, there is a better day coming. There's a camp to leave, a new direction, I'm glad one day that the Lord knocked on my heart. And He convicted me of my sins and convinced me that I was a sinner. And by faith, I left this old worldly camp and I trusted Christ. And now there's a Christ to love. There's a new desire. I want to love Him today. I hope you love Him. I miss gathering with God's people and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a very vocal person. I'm not very emotional. When I go to church, I never say amen. I never raise my head. I never nod my head. Well, the Bible says we're lively stones. You ought to have some emotion about you. Let somebody know that you're alive. Amen. Some of you ought to hit that button on the screen today. Thumbs up. That's like an amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen. Oh, I'm telling you, there's a Christ to love. There is a new desire. I've been preaching on Wednesday nights out of the book of Peter. Peter said something that spoke volumes to my heart. He talked about the Lord Jesus, and whom having not seen you love, whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a better day coming. There's a camp to leave. It's a new direction. There's a Christ to love. There's a new desire. But lastly today, you'll notice in verse number 14, there's a city to long for. It's a new destination. He said, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now look what he says. For here have we no continuing city. There's a lot of people, they have cities and they put their names upon them. And they've died and they've went on and met God. There's so many things here that people think is going to go forever. I heard somebody say one time that they didn't believe when they died that they leave everything behind, that they take some things with them. You know, I've preached a lot of funerals, but I've not seen a U-Haul behind any coffin that I've ever preached over. Friend, let me tell you, the only thing we're going to leave out of here with us is Jesus in our heart if we're saved. If not, we die and go to hell if we reject Christ. This morning, there is a city to long for. It is a new destination. He says, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, look what he says about this city. In Hebrews 10, verse 34, he made several quotations about this city. I want to read them to you this morning. About this city to long for, a new destination. Hebrews 10, verse number 34. He said, for you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. I'm glad in that city we have a better and an enduring substance. Then Hebrews 11 and verse number 16. You'll notice here the writer says this, but now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Then in Hebrews 12 and verse number 22. There the Bible says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. It is the city of the living God this morning. I'm glad I'm headed to that city. And then the writer says in verse 27 of Hebrews 12, he said, in this world yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, but those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I'm glad I'm going to the city where things cannot be shaken and they remain. We live in some very shakable times, but I sure am glad down here we don't have a city. But we've got a city there where the builder and maker is God that stands unshakable and unmovable this morning. And by the way, His throne is there. And it's unshakable and it's unmoving. And then he says in verse number 28, wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I asked you this morning, do you realize there's a better day coming? Many of you, you've buried loved ones. We've all buried people that's been very close to us. Life is very hard. Life is so unfair. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, why is life so unfair? Life is unfair. God is no respectable of persons. He sent His Son to die for the whole world. And this morning, your heart may be troubled. Your life is burdened. But I just want to remind you of this. There is a better day coming. For you see, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Every day of my life, I want to get up, walking with the Lord, looking for that city. I wonder, we had mentioned this week, through this pandemic that's happened in our nation, how it's upset everyone. Can you imagine what's going to take place when the rapture comes along and the church is taken away? Can you imagine the pandemic that's going to happen on a nation? But I sure am glad that I won't be here in the wrath of God, but I'll be in the city that I'm looking for and that I'm living for. You see, heaven in Revelation chapter number 21, I close with this. Heaven is a real place. Somebody wrote in this morning or this week and said, can you prove it? Yeah, I can prove it because my Bible says it. I'm glad there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun this morning. Heaven is a real place. John said in Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. Heaven is a real place. Verse 3, heaven is a restful place. He said, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There's a better day coming. I'm going to heaven. Are you going? You say, preacher, I'm not going to heaven. Well, you better get ready to go to heaven because you're not staying here. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. You see, this city that we long for, it's our new destination. It's a real place. It's a restful place. Verse 5, it's a reassuring place. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write these words. They are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain, the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God and he shall be my Son. See, heaven is a restful place. It's a reassuring place. In verse 8, it is a restricted place. You're just not going to die and open your eyes and be in heaven unless you've made preparation to get there. You must trust Christ to be your Savior. You see, the Bible says it is a restricted place, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, this city is a restricted place. Verse 23, it's a radiant place. For the Bible said the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Oh, we're headed to the city where the light's shining this morning. It's a radiant place, but verse 24, it's a reuniting place. Brother Curtis sung, the Bible said, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. I thought many times of the saints of God that I've met, I've pastored, I've been acquainted with, my family. Can I tell you, heaven is a reuniting place. Those that are saved, there were Christ this morning. They are awaiting us to get to the glorious city. It is a reuniting place. But in verse 27, it's a reserved place. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You see, there's a better day coming. There's a camp that we must leave. It's a new direction. There's a Christ that we must love. It's a new desire. But there's a city that we long for. It'll be a new destination. I told you this city is a reserved place. I'll never forget. I've told it here at Liberty many times, but it was so impactful to me and I've never forgot it. Me and my wife, we went out west one time, took the children. We'd won a trip through Pepsi. I'll never forget, we walked in this old hotel, had a big desk, this little man sitting behind it with a vest on, he had on half glasses, had a big book on the counter. And he said, "Sir, can I help you?" And I said, "Yes, we're to stay here this week." And he said, "What is your name?" I said, "My name is Ken Bowman." I'll never forget that book that took up, looked like part of the counter. It stood up this tall. He looked and he looked and he looked and he pulled his glasses down. I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Son, your name's not in here." He said, "Preacher, what'd you do?" "Well, I was in a bad situation." "Do you know that your name is written down this morning?" "I'm glad that I know that I know that I know." Matter of fact, John said that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm glad I'm not going through this world hoping so. I'm glad I've got a know-so salvation today. I'm glad that I know that my name is there. Is your name there? You may be watching today by live stream. You've never been saved by the grace of God. Preacher, what is saved? Saved simply means this. You see yourself as a sinner. You repent of your sins. In other words, you turn and you look toward Him. You call out to Him by faith to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to come and live in your life, to make you anew. And I'm glad when we do that out of our heart, God does a work that only God can do. Brother Kurt's going to sing this last song this morning. Would you listen to this and just let the Lord speak to your heart a few moments? Brother Kurt, would you sing?
Dear